One of the things we got to do before we can move into this extreme, you know, church makeover building is that we're really going to have to know the keys that unlock the door to moving into the building. And there's two of them today that I want you to get. There's two main focuses today that I want you to get. How many? Two. There's two things that we got to get going on, keep going on, moving forward in you embracing. Here's the first thing. Have you heard this before at Hillview? Only Jesus Christ can save your life. Have you heard that at least once or twice at Hillview? Guess what? If you decide to come back next week, guess what you'll hear next week? Jesus Christ is the only one that can change your life. I want you to know, if you're a guest here, it's a great time for you to be here to see if you actually would want to hang out in a place like this the rest of your year. It's a good kind of check-in. Do you really want to be a part of this? I hope you would want to be a part of this, because here's the number one reason why I hope you want to be a part of this. I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants to change your life. He wants to forgive you of all your sins. He wants you to be loved by Him, and He wants you to have heaven. That's what God desires. So I want you to know, if you're at Hillview Heights Church, you're in a place that believes this. People can be forgiven. All of their sin can be forgiven. But now we believe this. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you. We do not believe that having a God of your own understanding is going to get you there. Here's what we believe. We believe that there is a God that understands us, who has saved us and who loves us, and He has a name, and His name is Jesus, and He's died on a cross and He's risen from the grave, and anyone who believes in Him and confesses their sins in Him shall have everlasting life forever and ever. Amen. That's core here. Got it? And so I want to give you two attitudes that we got to have as a church as we begin to move into the facility. Now this is good. I've been waiting for 11 o'clock because this is going to be pretty cool. Do you all realize, and I know some of you all don't want to realize this right now, and some of y'all are like young and you're hanging out with other people, or what do they call it, talking now? You're talking. Isn't that what that means? You're talking. And then, you know, you get official, and then I guess after you get official, you get real official. See, I don't consider it official till you spending a lot of money. That's called engagement. And engagement is just pregame of spending a lot more money. That's called marriage. And so that's when things become official. Anyway, watch this. This is crazy. It's crazy. You ready? 10 years from now, we finished a decade in the 21st century. We close it out. This 10-year moment from 2000 to 2010. In the next 10 years, most of you in here will be the parents of the children in that building. The next 10 years. Now, some of you, like my lovely wife, Elizabeth, will be the grandparents of the children in the next building in there. But hold on, there's a few of you in here, Ross, that will even be the great-grandparents of the children that will be in that building. And you know what? We got to really make sure that we keep these two definite attitudes alive in our congregation. You ready? I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus is asked a question by a group of religious leaders. He's asked a very important question. The Pharisees and the Sadducees have asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" Now, I kind of like that. In January, you're going to hear bottom line at Hillview. What's the bottom line of life? What's the bottom line? But Jesus was asked that question by a great scholarly mind. Out of all the commandments that God has declared, out of all the formulas that seem to be created by God, they asked Jesus, which is the greatest? What is the greatest of these commands? Now, I don't know about you all, but I figure if God's going to go ahead and declare that is the greatest, then we need to embrace the greatest. What do you think? That's an attitude. So go ahead and tell your neighbor and say, you know, we want you to be great because God wants you to be great. Go ahead and talk among yourselves. Say, I want you to be great. I want you to be great. Go on, tell y'all aren't rich. Tell her. Sherry, I want you to be great. Rich, I want you to be great. Because watch this. God desires the greatest of these for you.
How many of y'all believe that? God's desire is the greatest of these for you. He doesn't want us to have goodness. He wants us to be involved in the greatness of heaven. That's why it takes Jesus. That makes sense? It takes Jesus. I can do a few good things on my own. How many of y'all can do a few good things on your own? How many, a few good men. How many, you know, there's a few good men. But are there the greatest of these? Uh-uh. Now you're understanding Jesus. Jesus calls forth the greatest of these in our lives. So here's what we believe. First attitude. As we move into the new building, in the attitude as we move on into a new year, you know what Jesus told them? Love the Lord your God. How many of y'all got your God? Jesus is your God. Jesus is your God. You claim Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. That makes Jesus your God. He is the one you follow. Now guess what? This is where it gets incredibly cool. Love God with all your what? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your what? Mind. Three connection spots. Your heart. How many of y'all got a heart to live? You got a heart to live. You want to live. Anybody here want to live the ultimate? If you were to ask me the question, why do you follow Jesus? Ask me that question. Here's why I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus because it is the only place I have found full life. Anybody else? It's the only place I found full life. Now, I've journeyed into some other places. Y'all ever journeyed into some other places? Have you all ever checked out some other promises? Have you ever heard, well, if you go do this, your life will be great? Have any of y'all ever went and done it and it didn't come through with the promise? Anybody been there? Yeah, me too. Now, some of you younger folks, man, let me tell you what, guys, listen. If y'all just listen to some of us older folks that already been beat up, you can skip that highway. You can skip that highway. I mean, I want some of y'all to skip some highways that just don't have a blessing. Make sense? Let me tell you something you don't have to do. You don't have to go just totally destroy your life to find grace. Isn't that cool? You can just fall madly in love with Jesus when you're young and Jesus guides your life from your youth to your adulthood to your old age on into heaven. That's okay. God desires that. God desires that you be what? Live in His greatness. Now we need to get this attitude in here. I want the great things of God. How many of y'all want the great things of God? Now they're going to cost you. Grace is free and the response costs everything. Does that help you understand it? Grace is free. You can't earn salvation. But if I am going to be connected to grace, then the cost of grace reshapes how I live. Because you see, when I love Jesus, I'm going to live differently than when I love myself. Amen? Somebody say, I get that. How many of y'all get that? Y'all going to work with us today, okay? I get that. Here's what God wants. He wants you to love Him with your what? Heart, soul, what else? Mind. Yeah. So church, I want us to get a heart that people know Christ. Now listen, I want you to know something. We've got to be real clear on this. Nobody can save anybody. Y'all understand that? I can't save you. I used to think I might could help out when I was a younger pastor. I'm no longer a younger pastor. I can't save you. I can't save you, and that's what's going to tick you off, because some of you are going to come to, well, Pastor Steve, what do I need to do here? I don't know. Jesus does. None of our pastors have saving power. Believe me, I live with them every day, and they live with me every day. None of our wives have saving power. Now, they got motivational power, but they don't have salvific power. It's a difference. Guess what? I know some of y'all who love the Lord and live in the Lord and got tremendous prayer lives and can sing like the angels and serve people. But guess what? Nobody in here can save anybody. Y'all understand this? This is where this gets good. Just look at your neighbor and say, I cannot save you. They need to hear it. I can't save you, brother. I cannot save you. I can't save you. See, that even sounds weird to us when we confess it, doesn't it? Because guess what? You just made a confession that goes 180 against the world. Guess what Oprah says? She can save you. Says she's got a guru that will bring you full and abundant life. Guess what the news stations say? We got the answer. Guess what the politicians say? If you vote for me, your life will be what? All politicians say that. I voted for a lot of them, and the only difference I found was is I lost more money with some of them than others. They can't save me. And so here's what I want you to know at Hillview, man. It comes down to this. We believe this. We believe that all human beings have sinned. But we believe that God loves all human beings. And that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, whose name is who? Jesus. To die for every human being. And when we love God, we realize the second part of that commandment comes through. Now watch this. First of all, God said, love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Reason with me, have an attitude with me, and let the core being of who you are be who I make you. That's the way we love God. Does that make sense? Get it? Give me a got it, we'll move on. Get it? Let's move on. And then He said the second commandment is just like the first commandment. It carries the same weight as the first commandment. After you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, He says, then love your neighbor as yourself. Because guess what? If you follow the first commandment, then you'll love your neighbor as Jesus loves you. Isn't that cool? So Hillview, I want to tell you, as we move into this building, as we see all these beautiful children get ready to go and move through a moment in their life, guess what? We got to ask Jesus Christ. Jesus, am I truly connected to you? Do I truly understand that you love me and you've forgiven me and you'll stay with me? Hillview, we want to tell people that Jesus will change their life. But not only do we want to tell them, we want to love Jesus in such a real way that we know our lives are being changed. How many of y'all know your life's being changed? See, I think 2010 is going to be incredibly crazy. I think we're going to see God do things that we never dreamed God doing. That's just kind of the way God does it. And so I hope we step in with faith and with love. How many of y'all are going to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body? So we're going to be pushing out this year. Love God. What does that mean for you? You know, today, guess what loving God means for some of you? Some of you were brought here today because guess what? It's your time to give it up and get connected to Jesus. Hillview is built on a vision. C3 what? HD. And the HD this time doesn't stand for Harley Davidson. It stands for healing and development. C3. I want you to see this. You ready? You're in a church that believes we exist every moment we take a breath as a church to connect people to Jesus. Here, let me just ask you a question. Do we hope you get saved at Hillview? Why would we think such crazy things as these? Yeah, we want everybody to go to heaven. It's that simple. How many of y'all are okay with hanging out in a church that wants you to go to heaven? I do not want you to go to hell. How many of y'all found hell all by yourself? For some reason, I don't need help finding hell. I didn't. If y'all have seen, anybody else have the same problem? How many of y'all just hell crawled up right next to you just real easy like? Huh? Almost like it was a friend. But man, I needed grace to find heaven, and I found grace, and the grace has a name, and His name is Jesus, and He's for real, and He's forever, and He's for you. You got that? He's for real, He's forever, and He's made for who? For you. To forgive you. To love you. To change you. To allow you to finally understand love. So Hillview, we connect people to Jesus. Now here's the way we do this. I want to welcome you. And I hope you stay welcome. Hillview, here's the greatest thing we got to do. Here's the greatest thing we got to do. We got to keep our big welcome. We got to welcome all nations to understand that Jesus Christ is for real. Y'all got that? All nations. Because here's the second thing we do. We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. We love other people just like Jesus is loving us. Now, you got to do this. See, here's the problem with the church. We think a t-shirt and a bumper sticker is faith. And guess what we found out? A t-shirt and a bumper sticker is a t-shirt and a bumper sticker. These things don't work until practiced. Hello? Kind of like my wife. I used to tell her for years, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when I cleaned up the house, somehow or another she responded to that better. There's a practice of love. to love God with activity, to love God with heart, with soul, with mind, with reality of life. Here's the second thing we're going to do. Go tell it. How many of y'all ready to go tell it? I want to show you the challenge we're up against in 2010. There are 85,000 unchurched folk in Warren County. Have y'all heard that so far? Should have got that in December. How many of y'all are aware of that? How many? How many? How many? How many people documented are in our county? 105. And then we probably got another 5 to 6 that we don't really keep up with. So probably about 110,000 folks around here that need the gospel. Amen? I don't care. I see, I got a different count. I don't care if you documented or not. I care if you saved or not. Do you know Jesus? Have you let Jesus know that you're a sinner? And that you really want Him to save you. Some of y'all, that's going to happen to you today. It's going to be incredibly cool. Isn't it going to be cool? How many of y'all glad to know God's willing to save you today? See, some of you came in here today and said, well, I wonder if God will save me. I want to give you an answer to your wondering. Yes! Look at your neighbor. Look at him. Come on, it's participatory. Look at your neighbor. Is that a human being sitting next to you? Look closely. Analyze directly. Is that a human being? I got some great news today. Jesus Christ died on a cross to save human beings. God is madly in love with human beings. Why? God created human beings. And God loves people. That's why He said this. Two things. You ready? First thing, we got to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. Have I told you that today? Huh? Because God's going to love us, and He'll never stop loving us. Our response to God is love Jesus. Our second response, tell somebody. How many of y'all realize we got to tell somebody? And once we got to tell somebody, how many of y'all got some friends that need to be saved? I got a bunch of them. I still got a bunch of them. But guess what? Some of y'all are here, man. Y'all are my friends. Some of y'all are hanging out. I've seen some of y'all get saved in 09. Guess what? We just got to tell the story. Now, I don't want you to be obnoxious. I just want you to tell the story. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Have y'all noticed that? Now, some of you are wondering, well, Pastor Steve, sometimes I get offended when you say Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let me really help you with that. Then be offended. I really want to cover this. I will never be so cheap as to tell you what you want to hear to make you feel good for a moment. I have a written paper in my life that says, Dear God, the moment I am unwilling to tell the truth, take me out. There's preachers all over America today, and here's what they're willing to do. They're willing to tell you what you want to hear so you'll feel good for the moment. Lie like dogs. Spent millions of dollars lying. Telling you if you send in $1,000, God's going to send you that much more money. That's a lie out of hell. That's never in that Bible. Never been written in that Bible. Never been a part of the cross and resurrection. It's time it be called out. The nation's going to hell. Not because the nation's going to hell, but it's because the church won't be the church. It's time for people to hear the truth. The truth's a great thing. Truth is painfully joyful. Truth is painfully joyful. How many of y'all have had that experience? A painfully joyful moment. The pain is you and I need to tell folks about God. The truth is some of them will be saved and some of them won't. And the pain is for folks that turn around. Watch this, I'm going to be very honest with you. I can kind of tell when somebody's not connected to Jesus. And every time I see them walk out of these doors not connected to Jesus, guess what? It hurts. And guess what I always pray? This is my Sunday prayer. Dear God, whoever did not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, would you please protect them for another week and would you bring them back in some way that they might be able to respond to your grace? Watch this. In fact, I'm probably going to freak you all out. Guess what? I pray every morning that Jesus not come back that day. You know why, Ross? It ain't about me. Whenever Jesus comes back, I'm all right. And a lot of you in this room are all right. But not all of you. True or false? And I pray that God give us another day to do what? To tell somebody that they don't have to live in hell. Has this been clear today? Because I'm about finished. Has this been clear? Now, this is what we're about at Hillview. And guess what? We're joined by a lot of great churches in Warren County that are about the same thing. So we're going to see God do some things in this county. It's not about one location. It's about God getting active in many locations. Because obviously, if you do the math, can one church hold 85,000 people? But I ain't worried about it. I guarantee you, if you all get the heart of God, the heart, the mind, the soul, to love God like that. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, Ayers, what would you do if 10,000 people wanted to go to Bible study? I said, we'd rent all the hotels out on Sunday morning. They looked at me and they said, you're crazy. I said, that's what they said in 91. I want you to know this is the church you live in. In 1991, your pastor was told by all the church growth experts. Now, these are men and women who have been fully trained in church growth. They knew how to do demographics. Some of y'all go through this in seminars you got to go through. They were lined up to tell you what was going to happen. Guess what? Nothing they said happened. God grew a church in spite of what they said. Because God loves you so much, He wants you to know truth, grace, and new life. Does that make sense? So two keys today we got to unlock. How many of y'all ready to love God with everything you got? Because guess what? He's loving you with everything He is. Isn't that pretty cool? So guess what? You got to get rid of this week. We go through a tough time during the week. How many of y'all ever feel like, well, I'm just unloved? Sometimes I get cussed pretty good. You know, and after you take a pretty good cussing, guess what you can feel? How many of y'all ever been cussed? Any of y'all in there been cussed? Just chewed out? I mean, somebody just really? Y'all don't drive on Scottsville Road? I mean, somebody just tell you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? I could feel like, wait a minute. My life is just wiped out. But wait, what did God say? God said, I'm not what that person said I am. God said, I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to put my love in you. I need to love you, God. We need to stay there in that attitude. What has God said? And how much does He love others? He loves people. Number two, we got to go tell somebody. Let me show you. Therefore, because God has done something great, now go tell them about how great He is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the what? Age. Meaning this, era of time. Now I want to open it up today. Any questions? Everybody clear? First two keys. We got a lot more to go through in January, but the first two keys, you're in a church that's going to love you and tell you to love Jesus in everything you do. Now, let me be really honest. Is Hillview Heights a perfect church? Absolutely. Not a perfect church. I don't know of any perfect churches. I've been to a couple of perfect churches before. They scared me to death. Perfect people scare me because it's limited human beings trying to be an unlimited God. And I've never seen that to be a good combination. We just call it like it is. You and I are people that need God's grace. And because God's grace is in us, everything becomes possible. Make sense? Not because we do good works, but because God is willing to do a great work in us. Does that make sense? And so, how many of y'all glad to know there's going to be some people get connected to Jesus today? There already has been today. So give God praise for that. And I hope you engage in the vision. Quickly at altar call. Today. Nobody's here by accident. Y'all realize that? Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're not here because you think you were supposed to be here. Tell them. Or just say, you're not an accident. We'll shorten it. You're not an accident. You're here for a reason today.
Now let's let God really speak. I want us to work on something at the altar call. Okay? At this time, when we give an invitation for people to come to Christ, I need all you who believe to start praying that people will be open to listening to what God has to say to them. This is not time to start thinking about food. It's not time to start thinking about what am I going to do this afternoon. For just a moment, we need to say, God, the most important thing is going to happen in this room. Okay? Now let me help you. In just a few short weeks, 4 weeks, you really focus on this altar. We got more doors in this auditorium than we've ever had. We have more ways out of the church and into the church than we've ever had. And you'll be able to focus and get to your car just like you did before. But don't get up. Really look at the end of each service. And you got 52 services, okay? At the end of each one of them, Jesus, what have you said to me today? How do I need to live that out tomorrow? How are you going to incorporate that in my life this week? God will bring you back next week and He'll load something else in you. And I guarantee you, if you'll love God like that with your heart, soul, mind, and what? Body, your reality, who you are, you will be amazed. Come 2011, when you get up and look in the mirror, you'll go, who's that person? Oh, that's the person that Jesus Christ made me into. Because I loved Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and body. And I cared about the mission that He cared about, telling others about Jesus. All right? Great first of the year. If you all don't mind, if you'll stand with me as our pastors come forward. Did you learn some powerful vision in this church? That people would be connected to Jesus. You ready? There are persons here today that are going to receive Jesus because God loves you. That's why He brought you here today. Others of you need to just come and pray and say, God, start my new year out with You. Loving You. Some of you have not been baptized yet. You've received Jesus. You've received Jesus over the holidays. And this would be a great time for you to come forward and let the pastors know that you want to be baptized so we can line that up, okay? This is a good time to do that. How many of y'all just need God's touch in the new year? All right, it's a new year. You really want to change? This is the greatest change I know a human can make. You ready? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. I have not kept the Ten Commandments. Lord Jesus, I believe You. I believe You died for me, and I believe You've risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and that will start the connection of a forever reality knowing Jesus. If you haven't done that this year, guess what? I'm not going to put any pressure on you because guess what? Didn't I tell you? I've already told you. I can't what? I can't save you. If pressure had worked, guess what I'd do? I'd run a pressure altar. Won't save you. At this moment, you will have to make a constant decision. And if the Holy Spirit's pulling on you, I can encourage you not to deny that, but to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Love me. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I've done that, but I want to keep it private. Well, it's not a private matter. Jesus didn't die on a private cross. And He didn't resurrect from a private tomb that nobody knew about it. He declared that message. Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me, I'm definitely not ashamed of you. There comes a time to declare who your Lord is. This is a moment to declare it. It's either the Jesus who died on the cross and has risen from a grave, or it's a God that you made up. I don't believe Jesus was made up. We could have a wonderful historical argument. If Jesus is made up, then there's a whole lot of powerful people that sure have tried to crush a made up story. And I just don't think make-believe's that powerful.
not been baptized, let's get that taken care of at the first of the year. I've been praying that God show us 100 baptisms in January. How many of y'all would agree with me in that prayer? You say, well, Pastor Steve, what if it doesn't happen this January? I didn't put a date on it. I just said January. You ready? Pray with me and let's open this altar up. Now listen, let's really ask God to just speak. Okay? No fanfare. Nobody else gets your attention but Jesus. Okay? And let's just listen. Jesus, You love a lot of people here. In fact, You love them all. And Lord, some of them really know You and some of them have wondered about You and some of them wonder if You're even real. And Jesus, I want to confess that I'm powerless to convince anybody of anything. But I know Your Spirit's not. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would listen to You in this moment like we've never heard You. Lord, for those of us that believe, that we would get rid of things in our lives that hinder us in our belief. And for those of us that for the first time will believe, that right now we would ask You, Jesus, to forgive us of our sins. We would believe You died on the cross, You've risen from a grave, and we would come forth and indicate we know You've moved in our lives so we can celebrate together. Lord, may this altar be remembered as a moment You set this church in motion to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. And Lord, to tell Your great gospel to the world, to the nations. In the name of Jesus, Hillview Heights Church, beloved people of God, this altar is open. Come and pray. Come and decide. Come and be loved by God. Come and be healed. I'm going to ask you to do everything but this. Don't stand there and say no to Jesus today. Come and say yes to God and see what God might do. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Come, let us worship together. Come, church. Come on, church. Come on, come on.
How deep the Father's